Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Give the Lord a shout of praise! Somebody shout glory! And talk to the Father. The moment of the Spirit is here. The Bible said at a certain time, an angel of the Lord went down and troubled the waters. And he said, whoever steps in first is cleansed of whatsoever challenge. Whatsoever. It takes discerning the moments of the Spirit to receiving the resources of the Spirit. Tell the Lord you are open to receive everything that He has come to provide tonight. There is no blessing that is too big. Everything the Lord has to offer, tell Him you are open to receive. And ask Him to bring it now. Your heart is open, your spirit is open, and you will receive all that the Lord has offered tonight. Lift your hands and talk to the Father. Bazandi soroba, batai makona. Bazandi kunyaba, batai makona. We are ready to receive, and so we ask that you fill us of your Spirit and of the bounties of your Spirit, that your name may be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Yeah. If you have a seat, be seated for a moment. I'll just share with us for 15 minutes, and then the Holy Ghost will begin to do what He came here tonight to do. Not one of us will stand in the way of God tonight. And so I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to the book of John, chapter 1, from verse 1. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The scriptures are gateways into realities that predate the existence of creation. You know, everything you see and know today came into being. Things have not always been the way they are. Creation and the visible universe have not always been. So this scripture began to take us to the foundation of things, so that you will know how things are supposed to be. In the beginning, there was no evil. In the beginning, there was no sickness. In the beginning, there was no death. So for you to understand how things ought to be, you must have to journey to the beginning. If you were born in Newman, or in any part of Nigeria, for instance, and you see people sick, people dying, you may assume for a second that this is how it's supposed to be. So you would start expecting that one day evil will also be up before me. One day I will also be sick. One day, I may also be downcast. So the Bible, in order to show you how God designed this realm to be, had to take you back to the beginning. And so he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He didn't stop with God, because if he stopped with God, you will say, well, he is God, so it's normal for it to be so. He now moved away from God and he began to touch the things God created. And he said, God created all things. He said, for without him was not anything made that was made. And if you will journey with me to Genesis chapter 1, very quickly, you will discover that all things that God created, the Bible said, God saw it and it was good. So evil was not part of the template of all God created. Evil was not part of what God desired. Everything that is not good in your life, in your family, was not part of what God created, because everything he created was good. And God did not stop there. The Bible went further to tell us that every good thing that God created, he decided to support it with his life. He said, in him was life. So all good things were not just there trying to be good on their own. God is the sustainer of everything that is good. Therefore, for you to enjoy and to walk in the goodness of that which God created, there must be a support structure of the life of God. What makes the creation of God good is the support that the life of God gives to it. Because after he created all things and they were good, he decided to inject his life into the things he created. And the Bible went further to say that life was the light of man. It would have been beautiful if man had the life of God and the life of God was their light. But God did not just make that life light for just no reason. The reason God made the life to become light is because there is a contrary government that will come into the face of the earth to destroy and to negate everything God has created. So in verse 4, he said, the light shines in the darkness. So this is the equation. Everything God created, he put his life in it. Now, the life of God has a functional intelligence within to counteract everything that is not of God. The reason the Bible said the life was light is not because the life will only be light. The reason is because on this occasion, the attack on man was darkness. So the life became light. When the attack on man is sickness, the life will become health. When the attack is poverty, the life will become prosperity. When the attack is backwardness, the life will become speed. On the strength of this, man have no reason to fail, because walking in man is the life of God that has the power to become anything to counteract the powers of the devil. So in John chapter 10 verse 10, when Jesus came into the world, he began to give us the manifesto of the devil. And Jesus said something. It's so amazing that when Jesus was describing the devil, there was nothing good in him. The same way there is nothing evil in God, that's how there is nothing good in the devil. In John chapter 10 verse 10, it said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But when Jesus spoke about himself, he said one thing. He said, I am come that you may have life. Why is it so? When the devil brings death, life becomes a counter antidote to death. When the devil brings stealing, life becomes restoration. When the devil brings destruction, life becomes an investment that brings protection and shield. Because everything God has to offer humankind is his life. And the moment the life of God shows up, it doesn't matter what the devil brings. The devil can bring sickness, the devil can bring death, the devil can bring poverty. That life alone is enough. So every man that receives the life of God have received everything God has to offer against the invasion of darkness. I came to announce to you today, brothers and sisters, that that life will be on display tonight. And every crisis and contradiction of your life, it doesn't matter the problem you came with. Some people may come here with deafness. Some people may come here lame. Some people may come here with sickness. Some people may come here with heaviness. There is one antidote for the crisis of man. It is called the life of God. If you are with me, shout amen.
Amen.
If you are with me, shout amen.
Amen.
A lot of people have become so familiar with their problems. So when you ask them, they tell you, this problem has lasted for 30 years. I have good news for you, brothers and sisters. The whole world was created in 6 days. So no matter how big your crisis is, it's not bigger than the whole universe. And if it took God 6 years to create the world, it will take him a moment to deal with that 30 years problem. In the name of Jesus, that crisis terminates tonight. The devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life, and life to the full. The question today is this: will God come and God not be able to do the job? Is it possible that the devil will do something and the creator of the universe will show up and he will not be able to counteract what the devil did? It's not possible. That's why he said the light shines. The light is not taking permission. So long as the light appears, it has the power to dominate darkness. He said the light shines in the darkness. And he said something. The darkness comprehended it not. That means the darkness tried but failed. The darkness tried but failed. Because the light is superior to the darkness. If Jesus said in that scripture, I will come, would have been praying and say, Lord, come fast. Have you heard Maranatha? Lord, come. But he didn't say, I will come. He said, I am come. That means he's already come. And if Jesus is already come, it means your problem has already expired. Because the cure to your problem was available before you had the problem. Can I assure you, brothers and sisters, before you had cancer, the answer was here. Before you had diabetes, the answer was here. Before you had hepatitis, the answer was here. Because I am come that you may have life, and life to the full. Why then do people still struggle with their problem, even though the answer is present? I want to show you from the scriptures. Because tonight, every condition that have defied solution is about to be handled cheaply. Why does it look as if, even though Jesus became man, Jesus was under the cross, Jesus died and resurrected, people are still in captivity? Why does it look as if God is powerful in the lives of every other person, but when it comes to our own life, God suddenly becomes powerless? I want to show you. Because light is available, it is an error for you to remain in crisis. But the reason why people have not come out is one, and I want to show you tonight. It is very simple, and so simple that if you are not careful, you will miss it. I can teach mysteries. I'm an instructor of the oracles of God. I can open things to you about spiritual realities. But the cure to your problem is too simple that if you are not careful, you will miss it. That when it is presented, you will still be asking, where, what did he say? I want you to pay attention. The reason why the problem looks powerful is not because the problem is powerful. The reason the problem looks powerful is one. And that's what I want to show you tonight. Can I surprise you, brothers and sisters? Even if Jesus is not aware that you are here, you will still be healed. Does this sound strange to you? I will show you from scriptures. Even if it looks as if you are not qualified, you will still be healed. Because everybody that finds this cure, no matter what happens, the person goes delivered. Before I show you this, let me show you something. Because I've made a statement. I said, even Jesus, if Jesus is not aware that you are here, you will be healed. You know why? The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So even if Jesus is not mindful of the whole world, they will still be healed. Talk quickly to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8 verse 42. The Bible told us about a story of a woman with the issue of blood. Blood was flowing non-stop. And the Bible said in verse 43 that this woman had spent all she had on doctors and physicians. You have not been in the hospital enough, I assure you. There are people that lived in the hospital for the past 10 years. This woman is one of such people. So much so that every penny that enters her hand is spent on doctors. And suddenly one day, the Bible said she heard. Now remember, pay attention to what I said. I said even if Jesus is not aware that you are here, what Jesus provided is more than enough for Newman, that he doesn't need to know you are here, yet you will be healed. This woman, the Bible said, she heard that Jesus was passing. Jesus was not aware of her circumstance. She was the one who heard that Jesus was passing. And the Bible said, Jesus was going to Jairus' house to heal or to resurrect his daughter that was dead. Jesus was not aware that there was a woman with the issue of blood. Jesus did not know that somebody was in the congregation like that. Suddenly, the Bible said, Jesus turned and said, who touched me? He didn't even know who was sick. He wasn't mindful of the woman. There was no specificity about her. There was no word of knowledge. But the woman came on her own accord, knowing how to take what is already available. And she pulled it out of Jesus. First of all, without Jesus' idea. Secondly, without Jesus' permission. Maybe the virtue Jesus carried, he had measured it, that when he goes to Jairus' house, he will use that virtue. Maybe Jesus was conscious of what he carried, because the volume he carried for that day was for a particular set of people. Maybe this woman was not in Jesus' agenda for that day, but the woman didn't care. She came from behind. Even though Jesus was not mindful of her, even though Jesus was only mindful of the power that he carried, she came and she took of that power. It was when she had already taken that Jesus said, who touched me? And Peter said, Master, men are drunking you. Why would you say, who touched me? Everybody is touching you. And Jesus said, no, I perceive virtue went out of me. Somebody has taken virtue from me without permission. Somebody has taken something from me. I know what I carry. How come I've not given permission? Yet somebody is able to take. I've not permitted anybody to take virtue. Who is the one taking virtue out of me? Because the woman knew the key. I know a lot of people are waiting for man of God to lay hands on you. It's a waste of time. Man of God may not even know you are here, but God in heaven knows. The same way Jesus didn't know the woman had an issue, the same way Jesus didn't give permission, suddenly the woman knew how to take. A lot of people are waiting for their cases to be mentioned by word of knowledge. You don't need a word of knowledge to receive your healing. Why? Because I am come. So long as Jesus came, your problem terminated. If he had not come, you would have had the right to be sick. But because he said, I am come, everybody has the right to be healed. Do you know the man that was born blind? John chapter 9 from verse 1. The Bible spoke of a man born blind. After Jesus healed him, they asked him, Who healed you? He said, I don't know his name. You have been in Bible school for 10 years and you still remain sick. Somebody else who doesn't even know the name of Jesus took his healing and went away. They said, who healed you? He said, I don't know his name. They said, a certain man touched my eyes and now I can see. What is his name? I don't know. I tell you today, because you know the Lord Jesus, because you have come before the Lord, there is no reason justifiable for you to go back with your problem. In the name of Jesus, every crisis you came with is terminated right now. So it's possible for somebody to be healed even when God is not mindful. Yes, there is a secret that makes for healing to become your experience. Number two, Matthew chapter 15 from verse 22. The Bible spoke of the Canaanite woman. The Bible said Jesus entered the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and this woman came to him and said, Master, my daughter is thoroughly vexed with devils. Please pray for her that she may be healed. And Jesus kept quiet. Have you been praying and it looks as if God is quiet? Jesus kept quiet. I'm calling upon you. A point came, the Bible said, the disciples of Jesus became angry and said, if you don't want to heal this woman, let her go. She's disturbing us. And Jesus said, I came only for the household of Israel. You know what that means? That means the woman is not qualified for healing. Because at that time, the provision Jesus had was only for Israel. But the woman knows something. If you didn't come, I would have remained in my problem. But because you came, you are implicated to handle my problem. So long as God has shown up, your problem must be handled. So he told Jesus, heal my child. And Jesus said, woman, it is not meet to give that which is for the children to dogs. And the woman looked at Jesus and said, even the crumbs that fall from the table, the dogs have the right to take it. You came with too much for me to remain in my problem. What you came with is more than enough. If I go with my problem, I am not wise. Serve those who want to serve on the table, but I know there must be overflow. And the overflow is too much for me to remain sick. The overflow is too much for me to remain poor. The overflow is too much for me to remain weak. Even the dogs, we eat of the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus turned. Even though what I have is only for Israel, even though you are not qualified for healing, woman, I say to you, great is thy faith. So it is possible that God came somewhere and there was no allocation for you, yet we have. I came to tell you tonight that you have no right to be sick. You have no right to be poor, because what he brought was more than enough. What is the secret of taking from God? Simple. John 11 verse 40. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. God has taken the responsibility for himself. Everything you need for life and godliness is already made available. Most times we trouble God too much. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. What you are looking for is at the mercy of your faith. The moment you can believe, whether God is mindful of you or not, you will receive immediately. The same way God was not mindful of the woman with the issue of blood, but she believed. He said, if I but might touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Some people are waiting for God to turn all his attention to them before they are healed. there is too much. When God turns his attention to you, he will talk kingdom. Your healing is too small a problem. There is more than enough left over to handle your healing. The same way the Canaanite woman, even though she was not qualified, but she believed. Because what qualifies you to receive is not whether God touched you with his hand or breathed upon you. What qualifies you to receive is the moment you make up your mind. I say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. The moment you do it, even if God is not conscious, the power of God will begin to flow in your direction. Because the power of God is sensitive to faith. That's why Jesus said, who touched me? All my focus was for Jairus' house. How come I'm going forward? My power is moving backward. Because by faith, somebody has provoked it. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Last week I told you, I was in Umuahia. And then we were talking like this. And I told the people, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And a young lady stepped up. Instantly, she was shot with 3 bullets on the breast. I was not feeling any anointing. I was not seeing any angel. But I just told her, if you will believe, if you will believe. And the moment she believed, suddenly, a metal bullet that was in her breast that she could feel. This testimony is online. Suddenly, she touched her breast and metal vanished. What takes metals out of people's body? It would have taken surgery. But if thou wouldest believe, became her surgery. And metal vanished from her breast. And we said, who did this? The whole congregation said, Jesus. Oh my God. I don't need to come into the congregation and lay hands on everybody. If thou wouldest believe, just 3 weeks ago, we were in Yola, and I stepped on the platform. I have not even started preaching. I just said, in the name of Jesus, if you couldn't walk, stand up and begin to walk. A young man with POP still on his leg, fresh, jogged up, threw his clutches away, and pain left. Broken bone was mended. I didn't know he was in the service. But if thou wouldest believe, what will bring the power of God in your direction is not whether the man of God is facing you. It's not whether the man of God touched you. It's whether you will believe. The moment you believe, you make yourself the first candidate to receive. Too many people are doing a lot of things. And the Bible said, you make the word of God of none effect by your traditions. Somebody's here that needs to hear, but is hoping that as the man of God is preaching, he will point in his direction and say, there is somebody deaf. That may not happen. So don't tie your healing to chance. So long as you are here, if thou wouldest believe, whether on ground or online, you can be healed. It's already a miracle that so many people gathered. You can't walk out of this ground without your healing. There is more than enough for everybody. I told them in the morning that God, by one shot, delivered over 3 million people that were in captivity for 40 years. For 400 years. How old has been your problem? Maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe 20. But with one encounter, God delivered 3 million people who were in captivity for 400 years. You have no right to live here sick. The question is, will you believe? Will you believe? Will you believe? Cancers can vanish. Blind eyes can see. Deaf ears can open. Bones can receive strength. But the question is, will you believe? You are great. You are great. Immortal. Invincible. You are great. You are great. Can I show you something before we begin to dance our way to our healing? The devil is already defeated. We are not here to defeat the devil. It would have been a serious battle. The devil is already defeated. That's why he calls you a more than a conqueror. The one who conquered, before he conquered, he had to go into the grave. He had to journey from the grave into Hades. And the Bible said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. If only you will believe, you will realize that everything that has shut you down was a lie from the pit of hell. The devil has no power to keep you in captivity. The power of God that was on display on the cross already provided all you need. So if you believe, the Bible gave us a formula. They said, call the name of Jesus, because whoever calls upon his name shall be saved. He said, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, then confess with your mouth. The proof that you believe is your testimony. The proof that you believe is that you call the name of Jesus, the same one that died, the same one that was buried, the same one that went to hell, and the same one that rose again from the grave. The devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Jesus laughed. There are many men who will turn stones to bread. Turning stone to bread is not what proves that I'm the Son of God. If you want to see that I'm the Son of God, wait. I will come to your own territory where you are coronated as king. And I will defeat death. I will defeat you. I will take all the powers that you have. Because if I turn stone to bread, you will still compete with me tomorrow. But when I come to your kingdom, I defeat death, I defeat you, I dethrone you, and I take the power that you have. That time, you will know that I'm the Son of God. So in Romans chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible said, he was proven to be the Son of God by power, by the resurrection from the dead. And when he rose up from the dead, he came into the room and said, all hail the King. All hail the King. He said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go in that power. Brothers and sisters, when I came here, I came with the same power with which Jesus rose from the dead. So there is more than enough for cancer. There's more than enough for diabetes. There's more than enough for deafness. There's more than enough for blindness. If you will believe, the power can flow in your direction. If you already believe, shout hallelujah! Hallelujah! Are you ready to take your testimony? Yes, sir. If you believe, shout glory! Glory! Do you know what believers do? They don't wait to see the sign before they start celebrating. Unbelievers wait to see the sign, then they will dance. Believers dance, then they see the sign. Because the question is whether it will happen or not. It's not whether it will happen or not. We know it must happen. Whether the devil likes it or not, it must happen. So while the pain is still there, the person begins to dance. And as he's dancing, after a while, the pain vanishes. While the growth is there, he's dancing. While the person is with clutches, he stands up and begins to walk. While he's yet walking, he will notice that the pain is gone. The bone is stretching. Are you ready?
Yes.
If you're ready, jump on your feet and shout glory!
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.